I'm Nightingale, and this is Notes and Bolts.
These roads have my words engraved on every cracking inch. I know the subtle changes in the leaves. Every silent winter I am screaming out your name. Sometimes a curse, sometimes in reverie. I am on the border, but I always stay inside. Drive out of town each day, but I keep coming back at night. And the harder that I try, the more your name is on my lips. Oh,
This is the Notes and Bolts interview series. Today I am here with Nightingale. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. So what's your real name?
Anna Holmquist.
And how did you get started with this? What's your life story?
Well, I've been doing music all my life. I started piano lessons when I was 5 years old, and I've just kind of been going from there. I remember asking, my mom doesn't remember it this way, but I remember asking if I could take piano lessons when I was about 5 years old. And so I started with that, and I kept going with classical lessons until I started high school, and then I decided to stop taking lessons and just start doing my own thing and learning the songs that I like to learn. And then I started writing music. I remember the first time that I ever performed one of the songs that I'd written was at my high school variety show. It was my sophomore year of high school, and I was like really excited up until the day of to be playing this song. And I remember like the 5 minutes before going on stage, it was this pretty big auditorium. These were like the most excruciating 5 minutes of my life. I was like, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? But then I got on stage and started playing, and that all kind of went away. I think that is one of the moments that I knew I wanted to do this for the rest of my life, and keep making music. But really, I guess the story starts a little bit before I moved to Chicago. I started playing in Chicago before I moved here, actually, because I went to college in Beloit, Wisconsin, which is like a 2-hour drive away. And I was visiting Chicago a lot and playing music. My first show actually was at Lily's on Lincoln Avenue, and I did some piano stuff and guitar there. I had ended up teaching myself guitar partway through college because, you know, it's easier to have a guitar than carry a keyboard or piano around. And so I was playing a few shows in Chicago before I moved, and then I ended up moving to Chicago. First I was just going by my name, Anna, and then I changed the name of my solo project to Panther. The main reason that I moved to Chicago is because I joined a cult while I was in college. So I moved to Chicago, changed my name to Panther because that was one of my spirit guides in the cult. And needless to say, when I left the cult, I decided to change the name of my act as well. I wanted to change it pretty quickly because I didn't, you know, I just kind of wanted to get rid of a lot of things that reminded me of the cult. So I changed it to Picard for Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Star Trek Enterprise from Star Trek TNG. And I didn't play under that name for very long because I didn't actually like it. I was just changing it quickly. And then I settled on Nightingale after a while. Birds have always been pretty meaningful to me, and I'm a huge night person. I really don't like mornings at all, and so I've always just kind of identified with a nightingale. And so I've settled on that, third time's the charm. As far as what I've been doing musically, I put out an EP with 4 or 5 songs called Circadian Rhythm once I changed my name to Nightingale. And I put out a video to go with that. And I've been playing around. I had been doing a lot of, I was finding a bunch of shows to do. I did some stuff at Township. I was in a couple other bands, and I've been doing a lot of, house shows and just kind of getting out and playing open mics, getting out and playing, sort of compilation nights, the Chicago Songwriters Association that is at Cafe Mustache. And so I was trying to put together a band for a while, but it hasn't quite come together yet.
Has it been really a necessity?
Not entirely with what I've been doing. I mean, I really enjoy playing, you know, just me and a guitar, me and a ukulele. But there are some songs that I have that I don't perform live because I feel like they, you know, call for drums, or I feel like they would be better, just more fleshed out and having a larger sound. I think an important part of my learning process when coming into moving to Chicago and living in the city was being a part of other people's projects. because I didn't really have a chance to do that in high school or college. I like played songs a little bit with some people in high school, and then I had a band in college. We played one show, and it didn't, you know, we didn't really do much with that. I don't think we ever even came up with a name. So when I got to Chicago, I was really fortunate to meet up with some super talented songwriters who asked me to be in their bands. Sean McConnell of Cold Country asked me to play with them, and I'm still playing with them. And that was great. It was a great learning experience to just see how other people write songs and to see how other people form things and to be in a rock band and talk to other people about how, you know, they want their music set up. It gave me a lot of ideas for my own stuff. And then also I joined the Red Threads, headed by Ben Mackey, who he has a totally different way of managing his band and way of writing songs and putting his music together than Sean did. So it was really great to see kind of two different ways to do things.
Don't.
Leave Me Waitin' and Letters. Those are both off my EP, Circadian Rhythm.
So what is the place of Nightingale in the Chicago music community?
Like I mentioned before, I was in, I'm in Cold Country, and I'm part of the Red Threads, which sadly I think may be ending soon. Ben Mackey, the head of the band, is moving to Boston because he's in love, which is great. And I think that there's been kind of a community that these bands are a part of, and that I've been a part of. So we've all played a lot at Young Camelot. Actually, the first full band practice for Cold Country that I was a part of was at Young Camelot when it was known as the Gay House. And so I think that Nightingale has been, you know, been able to play with a lot of these groups that have been really supportive of my music, and you know, I really like being supportive of their music. Also Shiloh and Teenage Rage have been a part of that, Donkey Hotel, Saudi Daisy. It's kind of an awesome group of people. I did for a while last summer, I tried to start a music collective, and that is kind of petered out right now, because it's a lot of work to do something like that. And so I'm not really sure if I'm going to take that in any sort of direction. The collective is called Family of Hair, and it was basically a bunch of us talking, okay, so we are all trying to do the same thing, and we're all trying to promote our music, and we're all putting money or resources toward that. What if we just pooled everything, and what if we, you know, really brought in the people that we know who do things like have access to printing, who do things like graphic design, who have contacts at venues that other people might not have contacts with. And kind of the idea was to create a space for people to come to and a resource for people to come to if they needed help with some of the things they weren't so good at. You know, some people are really great at doing all of the music side of things, or they're really great at booking their own shows, but they don't know how to make a poster, or they have no idea where to begin if they're looking to get something recorded. And so that was the idea behind that. We did hold a fundraising sort of kickoff show at Young Camelot, and it was really awesome. But the winter happened and the polar vortex happened, and it was kind of hard to get people on the same page and get people together. So right now I would say that's on a hiatus. But I really enjoy that aspect of the Chicago musical community. I mean, I know that ever since I've moved here, I've felt really like everybody is super helpful. I don't feel like it's some competitive thing, like where people are trying to get ahead of me, and where I have to really work hard to prove myself. I think that the people that I'm surrounded with, at least musically, are really... really caring and super supportive, and they'll, you know, they'll come to my shows, they'll share my stuff, I go to people's shows. It's really loving, and so I'm really excited about continuing to play music in Chicago and do that. I also think it's important as a queer musical artist to kind of to be out there too, and to be supporting other queer artists. That hasn't been something that I've been out about for a very long time, but I think it's really important to be a visible queer voice in the Chicago music community, and to be seeking out, you know, other queer artists as well.
Do you feel like that's something that's maybe been not purposely tamped down, but definitely something that hasn't been put to the forefront?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a lot of amazing stuff going on arts-wise, in sort of underground arts and queer artists, and not just music and dance and poetry and everything, and performance art. But I don't feel like as many people know about it as they should, and I don't feel like it's a thing that's, you know, that's talked about. I mean, I see, not that there's anything wrong with bands with lots of dudes, but I see a lot of bands with lots of dudes, and I think it's really important to diversify. I go to Salonathon. It's this awesome event at Beauty Bar. It's every Monday night, and it's just sort of a variety show of everything. There's dance, there's performance art, there's poetry readings, there are comedians, there's music, and it's so consistently amazing, but I think a lot of people just don't know about it. It's things like that that I would love to see people outside of the queer community becoming a part of, or at least knowing about and recognizing as a powerful force in the community.
Given the sort of rise in the media of things like gay marriage and the more outward approval in the legislative circles of that, and it becoming more of a law and an acceptable part of the land, why do you think, with all of that stuff so readily highlighted in the mainstream media, that here in Chicago maybe that underground culture isn't quite as paid attention to?
I think it's a slower... I mean, even with things happening, you know, on state level and on the national level, I think it's a slower process for people to get used to the idea of that, or to get used to being out about something like that. You know, I think there are a lot of people who are doing like queer art, and they go to like queer events and do that, and at really queer friendly places. But I think it's important to like to mix the things. I think it's important to have, you know, people who wouldn't normally maybe attend Salonathon because they think it's a queer event, to do music there, or queer artists to go and play at Logan Square venues. I think it still makes people uncomfortable. Just kind of the idea of that, and I think it still makes people uncomfortable just to have a room filled with all sorts of different people. I know it feels like a safer space for me if I'm in like at like a queer event or a queer show, and I'm doing, you know, a poem where I'm talking about feeling genderqueer. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable, which I did that at Salonathon when I performed last, but I know that I would feel really uncomfortable going to just kind of a general open mic or something and performing that. So I think it's a matter of queer performers having the courage to bring things like that and bring conversations like that into just all of the spaces, because then people who aren't seeking it out will hear it, and then people will start to feel more comfortable about speaking out.
Like this will end.
have a video out for that. It's up on YouTube and it's on my Facebook page.
So what is the creative process for you to put these songs together? Recently you did a song for a compilation that we put together, devoted to the color green. And my challenge was to put it together within about 2 to 3 weeks. And you were one of the first people who got the song. And it was definitely one of the more quality ones as well.
Thank you. I think it's a really fun challenge to be given sort of a theme or guidelines to write music within. Because generally when I'm writing music, it's coming from a very emotional place. And usually I'll just get a feeling like I have to write a song, and then I sit down and I write it. And it all just kind of happens at the same time. But when I'm given guidelines, it's like a fun puzzle. I've done a lot of video contests. I've written jingles for companies, which is, it's kind of the same thing. It's a lot of fun for me because you're working within the lines of, okay, they want like these specific attributes of whatever product in the jingle, and they want it to be exactly 30 seconds long, and you know, they want it to be catchy but also informative. And so I think it's, you know, it takes longer for me to write songs like that, but it's just kind of playing around and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work, and it's great. I love it.
How do you kind of want to grow and progress in the next 6 to 12 months as Nightingale?
I would like to work toward recording a full-length album is one of the next things I want to do. And in order to do that, I would like to find some people that I can play with regularly, at least drums and some bass. It would be great, too, to have another vocalist because I really love vocal harmonies. So I'd like to get a lot of those on that. I have a ton of songs, enough probably for a couple of full lengths, so it would be great to get a lot of these recorded before they get so old that I don't feel like I want to play them anymore, which happens sometimes. So I have to work toward doing that time-wise and money-wise, which is always difficult. And I'd also like to start working with more people so I can do more of a full band thing when I'm playing live shows. I think that would be really great because I usually am an opener for a lot of people, or I do open mic nights and smaller things like I said before, but I think it would be great to have Nightingale as more of a full band and, you know, maybe playing second or third some places, or maybe getting a show that I get to headline somewhere. I would love that.
When you're writing music, do you make sort of scratch recordings of them, since the initial kind of seed is so simple, you and a ukulele or you and a guitar?
Yeah, I do. I do that, especially because a lot of times when I'm writing music, I'll have ideas for multiple parts at once. I generally have ideas for vocal harmonies, and so I have to record those so that I remember them. So I usually just get on my laptop and pull up GarageBand and kind of sing, you know, do like 3 layers of vocal tracks and do a couple different guitar parts. I mean, sometimes I'll, you know, I have a keyboard in my room, so sometimes I'll have a piano part and a guitar part and a couple of vocal things. And so that's really what I'm working toward, is being able to realize all those ideas that I have in a live setting. Because I think that in my head, some of my songs sound a lot fuller than they probably sound when you're hearing me play them with just guitar. And it's not as easy to do the kind of build and reach the kind of heights that I want to reach, I guess, with some of my songs.
So where can folks go online to find all of your stuff?
So I'm on Facebook, if you type in Nightingale, and I also have a Bandcamp where you can download my Circadian Rhythm EP, and that's nightandgale.bandcamp.com.
All right. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to check out past episodes of Notes and Bolts, you can go to notesandbolts.net. Make sure to check out Nightingale the next time she plays out. This has been the Notes and Bolts Interview Series.
crossing state lines again, nothing in hand, and I'm rambling. Met you in a dream once or something, I remember your face. And I'm not suggesting that we drop everything, but you know there's not much that makes me stop anymore. But tell me, where will I meet you tonight? But tell me, where will I meet you? If I am an ocean, then we will set sail.